Welcome to Rights Watch, a program about human rights around the world from Human Rights Watch. I'm Amy Costello. The Human Rights Watch Film Festival gets underway in New York later this month. A theme in this year's lineup is the way that individuals are bringing attention to human rights abuses and utilizing the power of the global stage. Ai Weiwei, one of China's best-known contemporary artists, is one of those people. A documentary called Never Sorry is the story of Ai Weiwei's almost miraculous ability to defy Chinese authorities by creating art that condemns the central government. In his work and in his constant stream on Twitter, the 55-year-old artist chides the Chinese government's response to the thousands of children who died in the 2008 Sichuan earthquake. In the documentary, we watch Ai Weiwei as he visits government authorities and demands an investigation into his own beating at the hands of a police officer.
Yes, it is dangerous to dealing with this kind of authority, but at the same time, it's more dangerous because nobody's doing it. You know?
I asked first-time director Allison Clayman how she managed to gain such unprecedented access to Ai Weiwei.
Well, for me, I always start the timeline at 2006, which is when I went to China on a few-month trip after I graduated from university and ended up staying there for 4 years. And it was 2008 when I first met Ai Weiwei. I think right away, even within the first week of meeting him, I did learn a little about him, how he had this very controversial blog, that he spoke out against the Olympics after helping design the Olympic Stadium. But then upon meeting him the first few days, you just feel his presence and sort of his charisma. And so I think very early on, it was also just kind of clear to me. I was like, boy, you know, people could watch this guy for 90 minutes, even if to spend time with Ai Weiwei would show people a side of China that maybe they hadn't seen before.
You've said that Never Sorry is not a film just about Weiwei or China. You said it's a film that you hope will move audiences to interrogate themselves. How so?
What Weiwei sees an artist's role is about communication and engagement. You know, he's not saying what you have to be talking about, but that your work should somehow be engaged with the world around you, be engaged with society, and should be communicating something. Further than that, I really think an artist's role is kind of to have a vision for the future, to be imagining something new and to be articulating that and communicating it. And so the example of Weiwei, I think, then shows people it's about reframing a question. It's about pushing these boundaries. And I think that he does that in relation to China because he's Chinese. But that means that the viewer of this film should be taking sort of his example, but applying it to their own life. You know, it does show you more about China, but I think it sort of shows you about what it means to be an artist, to speak out, to find your voice, and have the courage to act on something that is meaningful to you.
One of the watershed moments for Ai Weiwei, and undoubtedly for many Chinese people, was the Sichuan earthquake in 2008, where some 5,000 children were killed, and many blamed faulty school construction for those deaths. How did Ai Weiwei respond to the incident?
His first response was to be in shock. Actually, he describes, you know, he was a prolific blogger, and for a whole week he just couldn't write anything because he was so moved by the human tragedy, as the whole country was and the whole world was. His next response was to be thinking, I think, what is my response and contribution as an artist? And he wanted to do something with the names of the children who died. And calling around and trying to acquire the names of the victims in order to do an artwork, he was met with a total blockage. You know, they said, this is a state secret, you can't have these names, which to him was just absurd and, of course, a provocation in itself. He's not going to, you know, just accept that. So he says, fine, we're going to go and collect the names ourselves, and puts out a call on his blog and activates a lot of incredibly brave and like-minded people from all over the country who are not world-famous artists who choose to take this on with him.
Volunteers.
Yeah, exactly. You know, volunteers who may not have been political before as well, which is, I think, really remarkable.
Describe what the list of children's names looks like when displayed on the wall.
It was really just a computer printout of an Excel spreadsheet, 5,000 names displayed on one wall.
And why was that powerful?
I think because it just has so much attention to detail, and the fact that each of those names represents a life is, I think, just a shocking thing in itself. I mean, think about war memorials and think about the way that that feels. I mean, imagine if it was just kind of on office printout paper in the studio of an artist in Beijing. Like, shouldn't this be a job, as someone says in the film, a peer of his? I mean, shouldn't this be a job that the government is doing? Shouldn't there be a memorial somewhere where these children's names are engraved? I mean, the fact that it's a job left to the volunteer followers of a Chinese artist in Beijing. I mean, I think that that just speaks volumes.
On the 2-year anniversary of the earthquake, Ai Weiwei asks his blog and Twitter followers to give voice to the names of those children who died.
Li Xin,
Li Xiang,
Li Ming,
Lin Tong,
Li Guixin,
Lin Yan,
Liu Juan,
Liu Li,
Liu Ping,
Bai Shuman,
Liu Lan,
Zhang Anqi,
Wu Zequn,
Xu Chengjun.
But it turns out we learn in the film that that project is about more than having Chinese citizens just read the names of the children. In your film, Ai Weiwei says, "We are always thinking of a way to get everyone involved," he says. "It helps everyone to learn about using resources, making recordings, and sending messages online."
Absolutely. He even had one thing, I think it was called the 1,000-tweet. It's either 100-tweet or 1,000-tweet campaign, where he wasn't saying tweet out this message of support or anything like that, but he was saying to people, like, tweet 100 times and, like, dedicate your 100th tweet to me or your 1,000th tweet to me and we'll, like, send you something. Like, really, he was just being like, use your voice, because it really is a gift to have that kind of space.
Let's listen to New Yorker writer Evan Osnos describe the essence of Weiwei's work.
Transparency is to Ai Weiwei what liberty was to another generation. You know, that is his battleground. And the question of what deserves to be public and what belongs to the public, that's what he is fighting about.
Weiwei has no doubt suffered from being so outspoken. He was struck in the head by a police officer, put under house arrest. There have been surveillance cameras installed in his home studio. Another studio the government built for him was later demolished by the government. And he was released just about a year ago after being held for more than 80 days, becoming China's most famous missing person in the process. And in the ending credits of Never Sorry, you mention how you can be followed on Twitter, and you write, quote, "Help keep Ai Weiwei's story part of the online conversation." Do you fear for his welfare now?
Yes. I mean, the short answer is yes. I think that, as he says in the film, the government is unpredictable there, and so anything is possible. During the years that I was filming with him, part of the story for me was to show the degree of freedom that he did enjoy, and maybe better yet, what he was doing with that freedom and the ways that he was pushing. This was not and is not a film about someone without a voice. But the truth is that he is incredibly vulnerable and he is facing great risk. And we have seen the government last year showed that they are willing to go that distance to do really the only thing they can do to stop him, which is to threaten him, to hold him, kidnap him, essentially. And so I think the important thing is everything that Weiwei represents and talks about. And to be talking about his story is also to be talking about all these values that I think are important for everyone.
Alison Clayman, director of Ai Weiwei, Never Sorry. It's been such a pleasure to speak with you today.
You too, Amy. Thank you so much.
The documentary Ai Weiwei, Never Sorry will have its New York premiere on June 15th as part of the Human Rights Watch Film Festival, which runs from June 14th to 28th. And that's Rights Watch for this week. To learn more about Human Rights Watch Film Festival, go to ff.hrw.org. There you can read about all of the films in this year's lineup. Thanks for listening to Rights Watch. I'm Amy Costello.